From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. President Donald Trump was forced to concede a major defeat on his drive to require citizenship information on the 2020 U.S. Census. In an executive order that he announced on Thursday, the president said he would be requiring the information from other federal agencies instead. Just days before the announcement, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency said it planned to round up thousands of undocumented people and their families living in the U.S. starting on Sunday. The announcement has sown fear in vulnerable communities around the U.S. Meanwhile, as lawmakers are battling over whether conditions in border detention facilities are harsh enough to deserve the name concentration camps, hundreds of vigils were organized around the country on Friday called Lights for Liberty to call attention to the inhumane treatment of migrants at the border. My guest is Anu Joshi, Senior Director of Immigrant Rights Policy at the New York Immigration Coalition. Welcome to the program, Anu.
Thank you so much for having me on.
So first, let's talk about the decision on the census. After the Supreme Court ruling, the Trump administration first conceded defeat, but then Trump himself sort of confused his own officials by insisting that it was going to happen. They tried to change their lawyers. Attorney General William Barr said there was a legal pathway, but didn't say what it was. And then we saw what happened on Thursday. How do you explain Trump's announcement? They're trying to spin it in a positive light, but do you see it as a big defeat?
100%. You know, the New York Immigration Coalition was a named plaintiff in that case that went all the way to the Supreme Court. And we've watched this administration tie themselves into knots, into trying to figure out how they could add this really blatantly racist citizenship question to the census and pass constitutional muster. And the reality is that they can't. And so thankfully, President Trump, you know, I guess seemed to realize that finally, or was finally told that, listen, you really don't have any options here, and conceded defeat. And so, you know, we're really overjoyed, but there is still so much work to be done to make sure that everyone is counted. I mean, unfortunately, a lot of the damage has already been done. Because, you know, just the conversations and the news reports about this citizenship question have already scared a lot of people. And so organizations like ours, the New York Immigration Coalition, we have a lot of work to do to make sure that everyone is counted next year.
So in his executive order, Trump said, after examining every possible alternative, the Attorney General and the Secretary of Commerce informed me that the logistics and timing for carrying out the census, combined with delays from continuing litigation, leave no practical mechanism for including the question. He's suggesting that had he had enough time, they would have been able to include the question. And also there's the issue of how Justice John Roberts in the Supreme Court ruling sort of left the door open for a better excuse rather than the one that the administration gave. And, you know, it still leaves one wondering whether 10 years from now, if we have another president like Trump, this whole thing could blow up again.
That's absolutely right. So the Supreme Court did not say that the actual citizenship question was unlawful to add that to the census. They said that the way that the Trump administration went about trying to add it was clearly pretextual, that it wasn't about enforcing the Voting Rights Act, as they tried to argue, that it was about limiting the count of immigrant communities, mixed families, mixed status families, you know, families that have some undocumented family members and some documented family members, and Latinos in general. But I do think it's important to note that, you know, one of our strongest arguments is that the Census Bureau itself, the experts at the Census Bureau, were against the addition of this question. And so I think we can't know anything for sure of what's going to happen in 2029, if this is going to come up again. But I feel pretty confident that if the right procedures and processes are followed to try to add this question, it will fail, because it's just that all of the evidence and the testing backs it up that adding a citizenship question makes the census less accurate.
So Trump is claiming, you know, I don't know if this was a face-saving thing to have an executive order just so you could say he's done something. But in the executive order on Thursday, he said he's requesting or requiring information about counts of citizens versus non-citizens across the country by, you know, and requiring that these agencies provide any access that I believe it would be the Department of Commerce would require on who is a citizen or who isn't. Are you concerned about this executive order?
So I think there's a couple of things important to note. And exactly as you said, you know, he issued this executive order, which is basically a whole lot of nothing. This act of data sharing from other federal agencies to the Census Bureau, which is in the Commerce Department, didn't just start yesterday. That has actually been happening for a few years, using administrative records to try to fill out gaps from different surveys, not just the decennial census, but the American Community Survey, which is done on a more regular basis with a smaller population, and others. It's not a new thing. What's also important to know is that this information is one way. So, you know, for us, we're concerned about the Department of Homeland Security, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, USCIS, sharing citizenship information with the Census Bureau. But under our laws, under Title 13, the Census Bureau is not allowed to share that data with any other agency. So all of this information that we're talking about is only allowed to go one way, and that's into the census and not out. And the census is governed by very strict confidentiality protections, which level personal and departmental governmental consequences for those who break census confidentiality. So, you know, I'm not saying that it's a great thing. You know, we know that some states want to use this metadata to do their congressional redistricting, which is not something that we support. You know, we will fight hard against that, and we expect litigation to come. But, you know, I want people to know that their information will be protected in the census, and everyone should fill out the census.
Right. I mean, the census is only as accurate as it is trusted by those filling it out, and trusted that the information will be kept simply for counting purposes and for those constitutional reasons. Now, the Trump administration changed its reasoning for why it wanted this information over and over again, right? First, it was to enforce the Voting Rights Act, as if we're to believe that they care about the enforcement of the Voting Rights Act. Then they said it was just about knowing, you know, how many citizens versus non-citizens there are. They talked about districting. Do you know whether they're giving any justification, whether Trump is giving any justification for needing this information?
Well, I think you said it right there. I mean, there were, after the Supreme Court had already heard the case, but before their decision came out, there came to light new evidence from, you know, a high-powered lawyer for the Republican Party who had passed away. And in his documents, it said that basically they wanted this information to be able to limit the power of communities that tend to vote Democratic. And it was very blatant that that was, you know, what the reasoning was. But I think in general, you know, what's also interesting is that it doesn't seem like the president understands that our country is not binary. It's not citizens and undocumented immigrants, right? There's a whole plethora of different kinds of statuses, people on different kinds of visas in different situations. And I cannot even try to understand what this president's reasoning is around why he wants this data and what he's going to do with it.
I'm wondering if you think that the revival of the announcement of coming ICE raids happening just a couple of days before Trump made this census decision was linked to the census decision. That, you know, essentially we know that Trump is signaling to his base, he's very worried about re-election, he's signaling to his base that he's going after immigrants, and it's almost as though he's saying, all right, if I can't do it through the census, we're going to unleash the ICE raids that we had talked about unleashing a few weeks ago and backed off from.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's any coincidence that he first announced the ICE raids the same day he launched his reelection campaign 2 weeks ago. That's exactly what you're saying. He was throwing red meat to the, you know, most far reaches of his base who are incredibly anti-immigrant. And so I think that by prolonging the announcement and the threat of these raids, the president is actually kind of accomplishing what he wants, even without the raids occurring, which is sowing even more terror and fear in immigrant communities. And I think, you know, to your point, adding a citizenship question is one way of doing that. But, you know, threatening to round up, in Trump's words, millions of people on a single day, just the threat of that is enough to really send our communities into a panic, rightfully so. I mean, I want to say that ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, it doesn't have the capacity to do what the president is talking about. And that also our communities have been under threat since Trump came into office and even before, and have been preparing and doing Know Your Rights and community education and connecting with attorneys. And we just need to continue to do that and not let this president really so much fear in our communities.
So the ICE did announce that they had a list of about 2,000 people that they were going to start going after around the country starting Sunday. And of course, these are apparently people whose information is in the system as having gotten deportation orders, but chosen to not comply with those deportation orders. I understand it's, you know, people like those who have sought sanctuary in churches or, you know, just living in all around the country in our communities. So far, it's about 2,000 people. Now, Anu, given the fear this unleashes, and of course, by announcing this ahead of time, they accomplish that fear. They don't just go and do it. They announce that they're going to do it and scare people. But how important is it for people to know what their rights are, whether you are undocumented or not? Because the New York Times actually had this interesting piece on Friday, about how dangerously inaccurate ICE is and how many times they've actually detained and even deported U.S. citizens or people with papers. So what are people's rights if they're approached by ICE agents over the weekend or beyond?
Yeah, so just one thing I want to clarify. They are targeting families with prior deportation orders, but I want to say that, you know, these were families, many of them, who were came into contact with ICE between 2014 and 2016 is what we're hearing. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of chaos that was happening. And so most of those families never got served their deportation orders.
Oh, wow.
And so I just want to, you know, these were called rocket dockets. They never got due process. And so I just want to be really clear that,
right.
That, you know, the administration is trying to paint a picture of who these families are. But the reality is that they never really, most of them have not had the ability to have their day in court and make their case through no fault of their own. But to your point, it's really important that people do know their rights. So I think the most important right thing to know is that if ICE comes to your door, you do not have to open your door unless the officer can show you a warrant signed by a judge, which in 99% of the cases, the ICE officer will not have. So ICE comes to your door, they knock on your door, they even know your name or they know one of your family members' names. Unless and until they can show you a judicial warrant, you do not have to open your door. If you are taken into custody, if they approach you on the street, you do not have to speak. You have the right to remain silent and you do not have to answer any of their questions. And so it's really important to exercise that right to remain silent, to ask to speak to an attorney. So that's the third one. You have the right to speak to an attorney. One is not guaranteed to you, so they don't have to provide you an attorney. But, you know, here in New York, we have a couple of hotlines that you should know the numbers. We have the Action NYC hotline here in New York City, and we have the Office of New American hotlines for statewide, all on our website. But you should have a couple of those numbers handy if possible. And we encourage families to create a family preparation plan. So to really make sure that everyone in the family knows exactly what their rights are that I just laid out, and what to do if someone is arrested and detained by ICE. Is there a plan for where, God forbid, there are children, where the children will go, so that Children and Family Services doesn't get involved? Do you make sure that you have all of your paperwork in one place that's easily accessible? Do you have these phone numbers on hand? And so, you know, I think the most important, if people can walk away with one thing, is you do not have to open the door unless they have a judicial warrant.
And just amazing to think about how ICE has scooped up over the years, even people who are legal residents or who are U.S. citizens, and, you know, ruined lives. The piece that I mentioned in the New York Times describes, of course, that these are people that are generally Latino. I mean, this is a situation we have in the country right now where there is an out of control agency that is racially profiling people, right? And they have databases that are inaccurate, where names are interchangeable. And all of these are problems that don't seem to matter to Homeland Security.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty terrible. And I should say that, you know, the raids that the Trump administration, ICE, at least, the information that we're getting, and I should say, we don't know anything concrete. This is all anonymous sources reporting, trying to, you know, translate Trump tweets. So we don't actually know what's going to happen with these raids and how many families will actually get picked up. But the other thing is that it's not just undocumented folks that are arrested and detained. As you mentioned, those with, you know, non-U.S. citizens, those with green cards, those in other visa categories are also vulnerable to this kind of interior enforcement. So, you know,
They're not supposed to be. The whole point of a visa is that's your legal document, or the whole point of a green card is that's your legal document. But the fact that we're living in a country now where you could still get rounded up is just horrifying.
Well, just, you know, you still can be detained and deported if you have a green card or if you have a visa, if
right.
you violate the terms of of those documents.
So if you commit a crime, or if you're convicted of committing a crime, absolutely.
Or, you know, there are some other, you know, violations.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if you can also comment on some of the movement that's happening around the border detention facilities, and the very necessary discussion and debate that is unfolding in Congress, primarily because of some of the younger, more diverse, newly elected members of Congress, primarily the women of color. I know in New York, where you are, you have Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, but also Representatives Ayanna Pressley and Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar and others, who have, you know, very early in their congressional terms taken such strong action, gone personally to visit detention centers where mothers and children are being held and are testifying about it. That it feels as though that conversation wouldn't have been happening had we not had the surge of people being elected last year. And so important to have that electoral political system, you know, be in our favor.
Yeah, I mean, 100%, and so grateful to those four women, especially for really raising the torch on this. But also, you know, we have had longstanding members of Congress who have been sounding the alarm around what we are doing. I just want to say, you know, what's happening at the border is horrific. It's inhumane, and any and every American should be rising up against this. These are people, you know, these are families, these are men, these are women, these are children, and the way we are treating them. But the truth is, you know, is that family detention began under President Obama, and we as a country need to make a decision about who we are, how we want to treat those who are seeking asylum, who are fleeing persecution, violence, crime. And that's really going to set the tone. And so, you know, I think that this all stems back to are what is our moral base, and how we treat others who need our protection really will says who we are as a country. So, you know, I really give so much gratitude to those four women and countless other members of Congress who have gone to these detention centers, who have gone to these concentration camps to really shed light on this issue and, you know, to try to hold those in the administration accountable. I mean, I'm sure you saw the couple of news reports. ProPublica published a piece about the racist Facebook groups that are populated by Border Patrol officers.
Yes.
And these are the folks that we are entrusting people's lives with. And so we really need our members of Congress to do more. And a part of that, you know, I'll just say, is that we're going into budget season again, where the federal government's going to have to decide how and how much they're going to fund this, you know, deportation machine that Trump is running. And so we really hope that our members in Congress will stand strong against giving any more money to these agencies that clearly, clearly are not equipped to handle these kind of vulnerable populations.
Finally, do you agree with the term? I mean, you did use it, so I'm assuming you agree with the term concentration camps. It seems to be a very important way in which to portray what's happening at the border. The administration is on the defensive. Vice President Mike Pence, said that it was contemptible that some members of Congress were using that term, which is important, right? We need to make concentration camps something, a true thing of the past. And so how important is it to use that language to draw on the historical connotations of what that term means to underscore what's happening today?
I mean, I think it's incredibly important. And I wish, you know, the vice president would care as much about the conditions in the camp as he did about what people were calling them, quite frankly, right? But, you know, I look and I see our sisters and brothers in the Jewish community out there putting their bodies on the line because they understand what the historical significance of this is. You see individuals from the Japanese American community out there putting their bodies on the line who were, you know, the victims of internment. We need to learn from our history and we need to be willing to call things what they are. And we saw it a year ago. It's hard to imagine, but it was over a year ago that family separation started happening, right? Where babies were being ripped from their mother's arms. And we are still there. We all need to do better.
Anu, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Give out a website for the New York Immigration Coalition.
Yep, it's nyic.org.
And we'll post a link to that from our website. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
My guest has been Anu Joshi, Senior Director of Immigrant Rights Policy at the New York Immigration Coalition. We've been discussing the announced ICE raids as well as Trump's census decision. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our video channel on Vimeo, and find our audio podcast on iTunes and now on Spotify.